time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins.
Good morning. I forgot my apron.
You do not have your apron on. I can see. I love your sweater, and normally I wouldn't say that because I can't see it.
I wasn't showing it off or anything. As a matter of fact, you can always tell when I have to do laundry because I accidentally bought a pair of pants online, a pair of jeans that I thought that they were like washed or, you know, just not like super nice, but it turns out they're destroyed. So I look like I'm trying to be 14.
Were they came distressed?
Oh, well, in my day, distressed meant just sort of washed, but now it means completely destroyed. And I didn't know that. And so, yeah, I'm down to those. Woohoo! You have to wear extra sturdy underwear when you wear them because there's holes everywhere.
Oh, it's a fashion warning.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, my gosh. So I talked to somebody the other day at the annual KMUN's annual meeting.
Okay.
Who was a fan of Food Talk and said, I love Food Talk, but I don't even cook.
Oh, isn't
and I
that
said,
funny?
That's okay, because we don't always talk about cooking, know, and so this is just evidence of that.
Laundry is in the kitchen.
And sometimes we talk about fashion.
Yeah. Lack thereof.
What are you cooking?
Well, let's see. I made risotto.
Oh.
And it was because, okay, we talk a lot about Andy Catalano's food kits, but it's because I've been trying them and it's not anything I've ever done. I never did Blue Apron or anything, any of those other ones. And it's just an experience for me because it's cooking not just with a recipe, but under someone else's direction. Normally, I would go through a bunch of recipes and say, ooh, this sounds good. And it's because it's probably just like all the other things I cook. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But this stuff arrives at your house and it's like, make this now. And risotto, because I know a lot of people make risotto and they make it well, but my impression about risotto is wrong. It's that you have to stand at the stove and stir continually for 45 minutes, and you really don't, because I thought, oh, in this kit, it's risotto. I don't care. I'm just going to stir it every 3 minutes, and that was fine. And I think there's such like a lore around risotto, you know?
Like polenta, too.
Yeah, I think that people get really like geeky about it, you know, oh, you must stir every, you know, 6.5 seconds at a counterclockwise at a rate of, you know, 3 miles an hour or something, you know, they get, and I'm sure that they do all kinds of experiments to get the absolute most perfect one. But man, I did not care and I did not follow the rules and it turned out good. And that was a revelation to me because I had always done it the way that, you know, like Food 52 or Food or, you know, all the science sites told you to do it, which was just really, really labor intensive. And so I think I'm going to try slacking off on a bunch of stuff and see what happens.
I highly recommend it.
Except canning. Don't want to kill the family.
No. Try not to kill the family. Oh, no. Try not to kill the family. I do remember in the restaurant biz that risotto used to get made almost and put out on a sheet pan and held until somebody ordered it and then finished. I mean, I think that there are many ways to what we think of as abuse risotto and still have really good risotto. What was in it besides the process? What was
in it? Oh, chanterelles.
Oh, yeah. That,
yeah, numb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's such a good time of year, isn't it? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
It really, really is.
Yeah. Squash and chanterelles.
Yeah.
I'm squashing today.
Are you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm roasting pumpkins thanks to Spring Up Farm. Thank you, Spring Up Farm, for donating a bunch of pumpkins to North Coast Food Web because we're doing a pie class series, and this week is booze pies, and we're doing bourbon pumpkin. So I gotta roast and puree some
puree, everybody, hurrah, puree.
It's so exciting. Although it is just, it makes everything smell good. And on a cold day, I'm really appreciative of the sun, but I'm still cold. So it's okay with me if the oven's on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I made bread early this morning. So the dough goes overnight and it sits on the counter. And then I got up early to make it, but I forgot that it's cold out. And so it wasn't quite right. And I have to start remembering that it's cold now and that you have to let dough go longer. Boo hoo.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't have proofing cabinets.
We keep forgetting to have those built into our homes.
That's right. We keep forgetting to build a home around a proofing cabinet.
Oh, we got a 1,500 square foot shop, though, don't we, poor Dale?
Hey, really, poor Dale now. Be nice. There's bugs going around out there.
And yeah, everybody's coughing.
I was very sorry to miss the wildlife rehab dinner that I was going to sit and visit with you while we ostensibly did good works by being there and eating together.
Yeah, I'll do that.
But that's because bugs going around. Shoot, it's that time of year.
Yeah,
we're getting ready for winter. We're all going to cough and sneeze for a while.
Yay.
Cough and sneeze and wheeze.
Well, I also tried a couple other things, and it's just using methods I don't normally use, and I realized why. So I know that you have done this, and I think I realize why. I think everybody has done this. You make a pot of stock. You boil up a chicken carcass or something, and you make a pot of stock, and then you get your strainer, and you pour the stock down the drain. And I know that it's just a mistake everybody makes. You've got that pot full of stuff. You toss it into the strainer. It goes down the drain, and you're like, oh, I didn't put a pot underneath it. And I think the reason is that your muscle memory with a strainer is, you know, pasta, vegetables, whatever it is,
rice,
potatoes, everything,
everything.
Is that you drain it and you put the strainer in the sink. Okay, so here's what happened. So in Andy's Kits, he makes a chicken very often the restaurant way, where you get your pan hot on the stove and you sear it, and then you put the whole, you know, your metal fry pan, you know, without a plastic handle, I avoided that mistake, into the oven, and then you take it out. But this is why I don't do that. I understand it's a way to cook, but I don't do it, because when there is a saute pan, a fry pan on my stove, and it has a handle, I touch the handle. I grab the handle to move the pot. And so I did it that way, and it was funny, because the kit that I had a month before had chicken. I'm like, and my reason was, I don't want to dirty up all that stuff. So instead of doing it that way, I just grilled it. So I cheated. Uh-huh. But so I did it that way, and I've got the pan sitting on the stove. It came out of the oven. The chicken's done, and I'm making a salad, but the handle's in the way. I'm worried it's going to, you know, I'm going to knock it off the stove. So I grab it. Bah! And it's just, it's that same kind of thing, because your muscle memory with a saute pan is you grab the handle, because that's what a handle's for. And so, man, I just can't cook that way, because I'll kill myself. I just can't cook that way. I understand it's a way to cook, but I think that that's why.
Yeah.
So, boo-hoo.
Well, you know, you can get a saute pan without a hand, you know. You know, the other kind without the handle that sticks out.
And I have that, like the two little roundy handles or little side hand to handles, not like, I don't know the difference. It's not a stick, but a little grabber. But I think I would do the same thing. I just do.
Touch it.
My kitchen's small, and I'm always moving stuff to make room to do other stuff. And I just think that I would. I'm not going to cook that way.
Just don't do it. Just stop doing it.
Yeah, no, I'm just not going to start. I'm not smart enough to cook that way. Or I don't have an attention span long enough to cook that
way. Oh, my gosh. You know, methods, that's the whole thing. I mean, there are so many good tips about doing things easier or doing things more appropriately or more safely. Mm-hmm. But it all so much hinges on the space that we work in, the habits that we've established, and also just the preference.
How much room there is in your brain. I mean, if you're concentrating on making the salad, you have to take care of yourself and not have things that are 5 million degrees just sitting around waiting to be touched.
It's sharp knives and hot stoves. I can't believe we're even allowed in there, Linda.
I know.
Seriously.
But they let us have knives.
I got to say, though, with the at North Coast Food Web, we do a series of kids cooking camps in the summer during school's out time. And there is something so empowering and completely exciting to a 7 or 8 year old kid to be given a cutting board and a knife.
Oh yeah.
And be able to be able to stand at a stove and saute something.
Yeah.
That is so you know, it's just like being told that you're old enough.
Well, I mean, I know my brothers, you know, they're really good on the grill. And the reason is it's dangerous. At any given point, there is a chance that they might blow up. And that's why they like it. And I think it's the same thing with kids. I am doing something dangerous.
Yes. Woohoo! Well, now I feel like, you know, we should make you wear a helmet to go, because I know you grill all the time. You grill all winter, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I grill all the time. I just love it. But Dale does pull it. I mean, he's very careful. He's the one that wants to light it, and he's the one that wants to pull it way away from the house.
In case you do go off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
There's a couple times. I remember once I'm just yelling at him, run, get the broom, get the broom. And he runs out because he's going to help with his little, you know, like very combustible arms, you know. And I'm like, get a broom, because the flames are just licking out of everywhere. And to get that lit up, we cannot use our arms, even though we have Kevlar gloves. But nope. Run.
Oh, no.
Poor Dale.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we call dinner Cajun. Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been cooking?
Well, let me see. I so wish I could remember. Oh, I did a pork roast recently. Ooh. I know that you have warned us, and rightly so, that we shouldn't believe everything on the internet. But yeah. Every once in a while, I just throw myself on the mercy of the internet. I'm not actually sure if I found the recipe on the internet or whether I found it with Eat Your Books.
Okay.
Because sometimes I do that, where you go on the internet and you go to that website and it tells you where to find a recipe in your cookbooks about whatever it is you're looking for. So that's the other thing we'll remind you, eatyourbooks.com. It's a very cool thing if you have multiple cookbooks.
Yeah, it's like an online complete index of your whole cookbook collection, and yeah, it's free.
And you can search by title of recipe, you can search by ingredient. Mm-hmm. So I find myself using my cookbooks a lot more because I mm-hmm. don't have to. In the past, I had 150,000 cookbooks and I used two.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knew where to find the recipe. Yeah. So anyway, I did a pork roast with almost like pot roast. Sear it off, put it in a pan with onion wedges and apples, quartered apples and carrots and some apple juice.
Okay.
And a little stock. It was really good.
What kind of cut did you use? Do you remember?
Just a shoulder roast.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really good.
Okay.
I got to say, we ate it for several days. And it made really good pot liquor for making a little bit of gravy over the potatoes.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
I mean, I also made a pork shoulder roast, and not to one-up you, but we had the smoker going, and so we did it at about 225 until it was about 185 in the middle, and that was really good. Ooh. I like it when it is really fall apart tender like that at about 185. And you know how you were talking about holding risotto in a sheet pan?
Yeah.
I have been, you know, grilling really low. So this time it wasn't in a smoker, but grilling really low. Same thing, about 225, 235, a pork roast. And then it just got really late and it just didn't cook as fast as I thought. And so it was at about 160, which means it's this texture. That's me chewing. That's my clock going around. Really tough. And so I took it out, refrigerated it, and then the morning put it back on, and that worked too.
Really?
Yeah, going from like 160 to 188 or so, I think I took that roast. And so I had no idea that if you stopped it, that you could continue and still have it be tender. So that was a revelation
to
me.
And it wasn't dried out.
It might have been a little.
It's the only thing about pork roast.
But I think it's because it took so much longer to cook than I thought it was going to. So it was out there for so long. But it was still really good. It wasn't like dried out like.
We ate ours with pink applesauce. The last of the pink applesauce. Thank you so much. We'll talk about pink applesauce in just 1 minute. I just want to take a quick second to remind everybody that you are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria, KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, and that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. So, yes, we had the last of the pink applesauce, which you made from all the Liberty apples at Lisa and David Reed's yard. And it comes out that gorgeous pink color. Like, I'm serious, nail polish pink.
Yeah, it looks like it's from outer space, but it's beautiful.
So delicious. Yeah. So delicious.
Yeah.
And it's so creamy because you have cooked it with the skins and then food milled it.
Yeah. Do you ever use a food mill?
Yeah, I have a couple different kinds.
I just love them. So this was one I got online because the reviews of it said it was the best one for getting blackberry seeds out. And that's what I was going to use it for. I can't say the brand, can I? No.
Is it a Molly?
No, OXO.
Oh, okay.
And anyway.
No, I guess we can't.
Okay.
Now that we've identified you.
It works so well for apples. So I was just walking at Fort Stevens once, and by chance I met this woman who's a food scientist, and we got to talking about canning and stuff. And I asked her, because there's so much preparation to get ready to make applesauce. And I said, can I just cut those apples in half and run all of that through the food mill? Because if you're running it through the food mill to get the skin off, why not just leave the core and the stems and everything and just wash the apples good? So she said no, that when you boil it up with the seeds, that it gets bitter.
Oh.
And also there's that whole arsenic thing. Like, I mean, you know, you can eat a couple apple cores, I'm sure, and you're fine. But if I'm boiling 600 pounds of apples, you know, again, that am I going to kill my family
You
know, yeah.
It's a good question to always ask ourselves as we enter the kitchen.
Yes, yes. Because I boil a big giant vat of apples and then I use the same water because it has flavor and I boil them again, but it would have the same arsenic. Yay! So anyway, she said no, rats, But I cut the apples the way you taught me, 1, 2, 3, 4 around the core. So that's a lot less work than
you're not digging the core out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then leave the skin on. And these apples are such a beautiful deep red. Uh-huh. And so the applesauce turns just pink. But this food mill for applesauce, because the peels are a big mass, a big biomass, you just run it around a couple times one way and then you run it backwards and it just works like a charm. It's at least 4 times faster than the cone with the pestle shaped thing.
Yeah, the China hat thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a different brand of food mill, but it works the same way. And I love it for many, many things.
And I think like my friend Georgia hates them, but she always went forward. And if you always go one direction, this one, and I don't know if all of them, but this one just doesn't work anywhere near as well. You have to go forwards a couple turns, backwards a couple turns.
It, yeah.
Yeah. And then it just works so well.
Yeah.
Really, really well.
I have a question I'd like to ask you, and I feel like I'm asking this on behalf of anyone who might be listening right
now.
The
answer is yes.
It's not a yes or no question.
Oh, dang it.
This is an essay question.
Oh, these are harder.
I know. The question I have is, you were out walking at Fort Stevens.
I know.
And you met a food engineer. Come on, Linda.
I know. I have to say that I am annoyingly, pestingly extroverted. And so that's what it is. I have met many other people at Fort Stevens. But usually it's like, look over there, there's a snowy owl. Oh, wow, we're all the way from Medford. What do you do in Medford? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's usually that I'm trying to point out something that I think is extraordinary that I just saw.
Okay.
So that's usually how it starts.
All right. And then.
Yeah. You're a food scientist. No way. No, you can't leave.
Yeah, right. Can you just come stay with me for a couple of weeks?
I know.
Just a couple of weeks. Oh, my gosh. Well, the seasons have officially changed in terms, if not of the calendar, at least in terms of what's available growing here for us to cook.
Well, and it's so nice this year because it's happening so gradually. Do you remember last year how summer shut off and then winter was like full, you know, nozzle spray?
We were still getting some local strawberries into October this year.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
And delicious.
And now mushrooms. So I look forward to the change of seasons because it's an inspiration to start doing something a little different. It's so easy to get into a rut in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
You know, you said that you were doing stuff with squash. Are you doing stuff with other than pumpkin?
Well, Yeah. I mean, I've done some baked squash, and I'm actually thinking about, we have a board meeting tonight at the Food Web, and I always cook dinner for the board because I think it's completely rude that boards have board meetings right after work for 2 hours and then send you home and don't feed you. So I always I cook dinner, and I'm thinking tonight we're gonna do some stuffed squash because it covers everything. It covers the gluten-free, it covers veg, it covers vegan, it covers everybody's thing that they have, whatever that is. And there's beautiful mushrooms and still lots of local onions, really fabulous onions and garlic. And I don't know, I'll look something up.
Well, at, not the internet, at Andy's, you know, in his kit, he uses delicatata squash. And that is my favorite. I just love it. It's just kind of a longish squash that's kind of white and green striped sort of. But it's I like it so much because the skin is good and I don't have to peel it. And not that it's a big deal, but I don't know why. Anyway, I've been... You know, you have the squash and you scoop out the seeds and then you just cut it into little like
moon, crescents,
moon shapes. And then just I never do that thing that they do on TV where they have a big pan of vegetables and they go drizzle, drizzle, drizzle with their olive oil. I always put it in a bowl and toss it around so everything just gets slightly teeny tiny.
Efficient too.
Yeah, glisteny rather than like, you know, that fake, oh, this is easy, you know, and every 90% is dry. So I do that. And then I've just been roasting those and just kind of, we have it just cold in the fridge and you pull it out with a meal and just have some roasted squash and it sure is good, you know.
It's good in salad. It's good in everything. And I think also with baked winter squash, there are so many ways that you can, you know, make it seem different. You can you can spice it up with a little curry or a little hot sauce. You could add maple syrup. There's, you know, just butter, salt, and pepper is really, really spiffy, or just olive oil, salt, and pepper. There's just so many ways to make it be even more delicious. So I like all the squashes pretty much. I tend to choose them for what I can cut through because really I don't like to, that's going to be my challenge today is getting into the pumpkins. Once they get past a certain size, I don't know. I don't have a cleaver or a sawzall. I don't know how... I don't know how people do that with just a chef's knife.
I know. And I know that some people have mallets, but I don't have room in my kitchen for a mallet. I just don't.
Please, no. God. Maybe we
barely have room for 4 KitchenAids.
I mean, really, we have our principles.
Yes.
And our priorities. I think we need one of those. We each need one of those red enamel roll around tool things they have in auto shops.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so awesome. Yes. What a brilliant idea. Oh, but it would have to be pink.
Well, I'm sure you can special order.
Hey, we have like 7 minutes left and we should talk about Thanksgiving.
We should talk about a couple of things about Thanksgiving. The first thing I want to talk about is that there is going to be a River People Farmers Market.
Oh, I saw that. I got an invitation.
Thursday before Thanksgiving. So that is a really good thing to know because there will be local fabulous goat cheese. There will be, I believe, a local ranch and local produce there.
Okay.
So it's our chance to do a little really good shopping right before Thanksgiving. So it is the Thursday before Thanksgiving, which would be, you would think I would know this already, it's going to be the 16th. It's at the Food Web location. We're in the rainy season, so Farmers Market has moved indoors. So it's in the Food Web building at 577 18th Street in Astoria, and it's from 2:30 to 5:30 on Thursday the 16th. Do your Thanksgiving shopping. So what about Thanksgiving, girl?
That's a great market. I say this every show before Thanksgiving every year, but this is the year. Think about making your turkey the day before. I know it's a really beautiful thing to come to the table with this big giant turkey, but if you've got a lot of people, think about making your turkey the day before. And then what you do is you cut all the meat off the bone and you put it in a big hotel pan or what do you call them? Roaster. And then you boil up your your carcass and you make your gravy the day before, and then you also save off some turkey broth, and then you put that in the roaster with your sliced up turkey, and you put foil over, and you just heat it up the next day, and you've got all that room in your oven, and your gravy's done too. And that's the stressful thing at the end, you know, the very last thing, and it's just all done. Anyway, wanted to say that.
You know, there's so much that you can do too while that turkey is roasting the day before. You can do any casseroles, like the stuffing on the side, not stuffing, dressing.
Yeah,
sorry.
But I mean, you can just have it all ready to pop into the oven.
You can have it all done, yeah. You can make your pies ahead. Mm-hmm. So it does hinge on the proposition that you have the day before to do it.
Yeah, that's true. But even the evening before.
Yeah.
Or tell somebody to put it in the oven for when you get home.
Or get an invitation to dinner. That's the that's plan B.
I know. If I do, I always try to bring something nice enough that they'll ask me next year. These are my mother's jewels I inherited.
I want you to have them.
And then, here, just across the river, I mean, we are the land of cranberries. If nothing else, make some fresh cranberry sauce, fresh cranberry relish this year. Cranberry sauce is so easy. You just put a bunch of cranberries in your pot, put some sugar in there and orange juice, and then you just boil it until they start popping, and it's really good. It's a really easy thing to make. It thickens up because all that stuff is thick in the sugar in the berries.
Yep. It's a really good thing to make, and I think once you start making homemade cranberry anything, you quit buying it.
Yeah.
Because it's so much better. I even like it a little warm.
Yeah.
And I like it with roast pork. Oh my gosh, I really like it with roast pork.
Yeah, warm over roast pork. And then somebody on TV on a cooking show the other day was making a cranberry mustard to dip pork in. And it just looked like it was pretty much just cranberry sauce. And you mix in some, you know, like Dijon style mushroom and maybe a stone ground one too. And it just looked good.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's a good combination.
Yeah, I like that. And by the way, FYI, a little horseradish with your pink applesauce is fabulous.
Really? See, I never would have thought of that.
Well, I didn't mix it together, but I like, you know, there's this theory about having, and it might not be a theory, it might be science, I'm not sure, that when you go to eat, the plate is in front of you, that you should build the perfect bite for your first bite, because that will be your most intense taste of everything you eat. So build the perfect bite.
Okay, because you're going from not tasting anything to that, rather than, that bite was pretty good the one before. This one is incrementally better. I got it.
Yeah. So that's the theory. And so I think about that. And with roast pork, for me, the perfect bite is a bite-sized piece of pork, a little horseradish, and a little applesauce all in one bite.
No,
and
that's awesome.
If there's been onions involved, I like a little onion in there. But I love the applesauce and the horseradish together.
Okay.
It's just really good.
I happen to have a lot of applesauce.
Well, yes, you do.
You know how you said that thing? When I go shopping, I am very careful. If I'm buying something expensive like a car or a mattress, I am so careful about the first one I try for exactly that reason, because the first mattress I lay on is going to compare to my crappy mattress, or the first car I drive is going to compare to my crappy car, whereas the next car will compare to the really nice one I just drove, and maybe it'll be 3% better, 5% worse, but it's not going to be 1,000% different like between my car and it. So I am always really careful. So now I'm going to be more careful about my first bite.
The first bite.
Yeah.
Build the first bite. That's I don't even know where I read that. Oh, gosh. Probably on the interwebs, right?
Okay. It doesn't always lie.
It doesn't always lie, just often enough to ruin a meal here or there. And also, we're goofy enough to try it. I mean, really, mea culpa on some of that stuff, because it really is up to us to decide if it's worthy of our time and, more importantly, our ingredients. So, yeah. I also think differently in terms of spices this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I find myself thinking about cinnamon and nutmeg a little more across the board.
All my clothes turn orange. No, I mean, you know, I'm like, I have to wear orange. And I guess my spices do too.
Oh, curry. Anything warm.
Yeah. Cardamom.
Oh, cardamom.
That
definitely.
To me is a very fall flavor.
Definitely. You know, when I was in Spain, Norma Hernandez and I went to Spain for a few weeks and discovered that the national drink of Spain turns out to be gin tonic, and and they always put cardamom pods, a little bit of cracked cardamom pods, in their gin and tonic, and
really?
I cannot tell you how completely delicious that is.
Really? Because I get a little confused when I go to the store, because there's the cardamom seed, there's the black cardamom pods, and then there's the green cardamom pods. I always get confused when a thing says cardamom, you know, what to use.
Yeah, and I, you know, I always just buy the green ones.
Okay.
I don't know what... I don't know.
I don't either.
We haven't done a taste test. Ooh, maybe we ought to do that before it's too late and get back to people on exactly what the difference is between all those cardamoms. So I need to remind everybody, I get to remind everybody, that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org. Also to remind you, news headlines coming up, and John Stevenson is in the house to bring you Lost Highways at a few minutes after the hour. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving almost in a month.
That's right. We get to talk one more time.
Yep.
We'll come with something really pithy for you, I'm sure.